verse of scripture the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning is verse 17, Philippians chapter 1. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. When in 1966, three of our ministers were imprisoned for the cause of Jesus Christ, there were those who believed that imprisonment marked the beginning of the end of the Free Presbyterian Church. There were those who, of course, who were hoping that indeed it marked the demise of our denomination. But our enemies were sadly disappointed, because in 1966 we had just 16 congregations spread throughout Ulster. In a matter of a few years following the imprisonment of Dr. Paisley, the Reverend John Wiley, and the Reverend Ivan Foster, the number of congregations doubled. And now, in Ulster alone, there are over 80 congregations. Also churches in the mainland, in England, in Scotland and Wales, in Spain and in Australia and in Kenya, in America and in Canada. Far from it being the beginning of the end, it was really the beginning of the beginning of our denomination. And our three brethren who were imprisoned at that time could easily have, and no doubt they did on occasion, quote the words of the Apostle Paul, as we have them in verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. When there were those in those days who were hoping that it was the end of the church, those who were fearful that perhaps it was indeed the end of the church, our brethren could easily have said, the things which have happened unto us have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And that is exactly what took place. For there were those at Philippi who were worried that the cause of Christ had suffered terrible harm when Paul was shut up in prison at Rome. But when others were pessimistic, the Apostle Paul was optimistic. He was optimistic at a time when, first of all, he was a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. He was in bonds, and it wasn't the first time, neither would it be the last time, that a servant of the Lord was imprisoned because of the cause of Jesus Christ and because of the preaching of the gospel. And when we look at the words of verse 12 again, we see that Paul was a pioneer for the gospel. Not only a prisoner, but a pioneer. We see here how the Lord works in spreading the gospel. As we said to some of the folk on Friday evening, when we were disappointed at the noise that went on during that constitution, it was a noise, of course, that was not of our own making. I said to some of the brethren there, well, isn't it good that we believe in a sovereign God? Because the Lord allowed that to happen. And if He allowed it to happen, He allowed it to happen for a reason. He allowed Paul to be put in prison, and He allowed him to be imprisoned, and it was for a reason. He's a sovereign God. And Paul was able to say, these things that have happened unto me, they've happened unto me to the furtherance of the gospel. If you take that word, furtherance, for the furtherance of the gospel, the word that Paul employed is used in reference to pioneers. It is used in reference to pioneers who cut their way through in advance of an army. They would prepare the way for an advancing army. They would remove the obstacles. They would hack and cut their way through so that the army that would follow could march on unhindered. That's the word Paul uses here. Paul was a pioneer. And he looked upon his imprisonment as a means of spreading the gospel. He says, I'm just a pioneer for those that come behind me. His imprisonment was God's way of bringing the gospel message to people who had never heard the gospel before. Look at what he wrote in verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Your Bible margin there will tell you what palace Paul is speaking about. Caesar's palace. The reference here is to the Praetorian Guards. To men that under normal circumstances would never have come in contact with the gospel, but through Paul's imprisonment, these hardened men heard the gospel because Paul, when he was in prison, he preached the gospel. So Paul told the believers at Philippi, don't be discouraged. Rather rejoice with me in my bonds, for I have the opportunity to preach the gospel. I'm a pioneer. And Paul rejoiced that he was a pioneer for the gospel's sake. Our good friend and brother Dr. Bill Woods, our missionary to Brazil, for years has been a pioneer for the gospel. He has gone up the Amazon, he has gone deep into the bush, and he has reached people that are afflicted with the awful disease of leprosy. But he hasn't only brought to them a cure for their disease, he brought them through the gospel, the cure for their sin. He was a pioneer reaching men and women who had never heard the gospel before. You think of our brother David Dunlop, his wife and family over there in France learning language. In language school so that they might go to the land of Cameroon. And that they might reach the pygmy tribes there with the gospel. He's going there to literally hack and cut his way through the bush, as he did on the previous visit, and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of saving grace. We bless God for these pioneers. Paul was rejoicing he was a pioneer with the gospel. There would be others who would come behind him. And he was just breaking new ground. Then Paul mentions here his partners in the gospel. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, there were those in Paul's day who were afraid to preach the gospel because of the threat of persecution and imprisonment. But my, when they saw Paul and his boldness, and how Paul willingly went to prison for the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel, why, that gave his brethren in the Lord some courage. They then were encouraged and strengthened and were ready to go out and to speak the word without fear. No wonder Paul was rejoicing. No wonder he was optimistic. And then notice also the preeminence of the gospel. This is what you like about the Apostle Paul. Verses 15 and 16. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul then says in verse 18, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Whatever was the motive for the others preaching the gospel, some preached out of contention, hoping to add to Paul's afflictions. Paul didn't care. Here you see the preeminence of the gospel in Paul's life. Paul didn't sit down and feel sorry for himself and say, oh, look what these men are doing. They're adding to my afflictions. No, Paul rejoiced. He says there in verse 18, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Paul says, I rejoice. The gospel is being preached. Christ is being preached. And all, that's all that matters. Paul says, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Let my name perish. Let the name of Christ be preached. Let His gospel be preached. It's all that concerned Paul. Then, verse 17, he made this tremendous statement regarding those that preach. He says, but the other of love. Some will preach the gospel out of love. Others of contention, not sincerely. Others in pretense. But Paul says, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, my friends and my foes, they all know, those that preach with me and those that would preach against me, they all know that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And here we have, first of all, Paul's, or rather the gospel and Paul's testimony. That's a wonderful testimony to have. That people know where you stand with regard to the gospel. They knew where Paul stood. Paul says, they know, everybody knows where I stand. They know that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And that is why God in the sovereignty and providence raised up this denomination. He raised us up to the kingdom for such a time as this. And by His grace we are set for the defense of the gospel. We trust that will always be our testimony. That whether people are our friends or our foes, whether they stand with us or stand against us, matters not. What matters is this, that they know where we stand. That we are set for the defense of the gospel. The gospel and Paul's testimony, they knew about his position and the gospel. For Paul here declares, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There was no doubt in the minds of all who knew Paul where he stood in relation to the gospel of Christ. They knew he believed it. They knew that he broadcast it. And they knew that he was in bonds because of it. They knew it was because of the gospel that Paul was in prison. Isn't that what he said? That these things have happened unto me, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. Everybody knows in Caesar's palace why I am in prison. They know I am in prison because of the gospel. That's a tremendous testimony. For there are some preachers today, and when it comes to the gospel, you don't know where they stand. Oh, you might hear them preach at a funeral service somewhere or some other occasion. And you've been told that man's an evangelical. You listen to them preach, and you wonder, are they evangelicals at all? Dr. Paisley talks about these people that are evangelical, and he says you can place the emphasis on the jelly. Because they're not very strong in their evangelism. They're not very strong in the gospel. And there are some characters today, and you don't know where they stand. Where do they stand on the virgin birth? Where do they stand on the power of the blood? Where do they stand on the atonement? And there's this great question mark. I tell you, there was no question mark over Paul's ministry. Everybody knew where he stood. Dear child of God, may it be the same with us. May everybody know where we stand. May every man and woman, may every household in this town of Port Hope know where the Free Presbyterian Church stands with regard to the gospel of Christ. That's the testimony we want. The testimony we want to the glory of God. Everybody knew where Paul stood. They knew his position. Therefore, they knew that Paul was no coward. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Calling upon the saints at Ephesus to pray for them. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul was saying to the believers at Ephesus, I'm no coward when it comes to the gospel. I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray that when I preach the gospel, I will preach it with boldness. No cowardice as far as Paul was concerned. There was no cowardice and there was no compromise when it came to the gospel. For we read in Acts 20, Paul's address, his farewell address to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Acts 20 and verse 27, Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. Why don't we love the preaching of Paul? Don't we love where Paul stood? That's the man we want to stand with. A man like that. A man who doesn't want to compromise. A man who doesn't tailor his message to his congregation. I have heard people talk about preachers, and they've heard them preach to different congregations. They've heard them preach to people from different denominations. When they've heard them in one place and then heard them somewhere else, they've said, it's hard to believe that's the same man. Tailored the message to suit the congregation. Man that does that's only a compromiser. He's a coward. Paul was no compromiser and Paul was no coward. For in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there in verse 4, Paul makes it clear and plain where he stood. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, but as we were allowed of God. And that again is a tremendous statement. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul says, I have to answer to God as to how I preached the word that He gave me. It's put me in trust, and I have to be truthful, and I have to be true. And Paul says, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God. No hint of compromise or cowardice there. So we have his position in the gospel. Then we have, secondly, his pride in the gospel. It is very clear from his epistles that the apostle was very proud of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had witnessed firsthand what the preaching of the gospel was able to do. What had been accomplished through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. Paul declares, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul says, I have been sent I have been called, I have been sent, what to do? To preach the gospel. Now look at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians in the opening two verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? It's the gospel. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel he preached. We preach Christ crucified. Now look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. This was the gospel that Paul preached, and here he mentions the results, the fruit from the preaching of the gospel. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Nay, ye do wrong, defraud, and that your brethren, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, Paul had preached the gospel to them. He had preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And what happened? The people he describes in verses 9 and 10 were wonderfully and gloriously saved. Paul said, and such were some of you. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were drunkards and covetous and effeminate and extortioners. But I preached the gospel to you. And the Spirit of God used the gospel, and glory to God, you got saved. Paul is saying, this is a wonderful gospel. I'm proud of this gospel. That's what he said in Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'll stand up for this gospel. I'll stand by this gospel. I'll preach this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul was proud of the gospel. We want everyone to know that we stand where Paul stood. That this is the gospel we believe in. This is the gospel we preach. This is the gospel we are proud of. I'm not ashamed, Paul said. I'm not afraid, Paul said. Again, there are those today who go under the name of evangelical. And they are afraid, and they are ashamed. They're afraid to mention repentance. They're afraid to preach the blood. They're ministers in congregations today, and they're afraid to preach the old-fashioned gospel because their people would be up in arms. So they have to tailor the message and compromise. The Lord says, they that honor me, I will honor. It's all that matters. We honor the Lord. We preach His word. We say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So we have His position in the gospel, His pride in the gospel. And we note that the people knew also that Paul preached the gospel. They knew, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. There was no doubt about Paul whether or not he preached the gospel. There are some people, and when they go to hear a minister, they say, I wonder if this man is an evangelical. I wonder, does this man preach the gospel? They don't know. When people went to hear Paul preach, those words never crossed their lips. They never said, I wonder, does this man Paul, this Saul of Tarsus, I wonder, does he preach the gospel? Everybody knew Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. That's the testimony we want. They knew it in Antioch that Paul preached the gospel. They knew it in Galatia. They knew it in Thessalonica. They knew it in Colossae. They knew it in Ephesus. They knew it in Philippi. No doubt about it. He preached the word. It has been the testimony of this church for 51 years. Everybody knows, that knows anything at all about the church. They know that we preach the gospel. When young people have got saved, they met other believers of other denominations, and they say to them, well, you got saved, where do you attend? And they say, well, I'm going to such and such a Free Presbyterian Church. And they said in response, well, you'll hear the gospel there. Amen. It's a good testimony. And God has given us that testimony for 51 years, and may we still have that testimony when the Lord returns Himself. May God save us from compromise. And then you have the gospel and Paul's task. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, there's his task. I am set for the defense of the gospel. If Paul had to defend the gospel, then there must have been those who opposed the gospel. If Paul was set for its defense. So here reference is made to the adversary. We know that in every day and generation there has been and will be those who will set themselves against the truth of the gospel. Paul spoke there about the adversaries in Philippi, verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Be of one mind, Paul, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Don't be terrified of your adversaries. You think of our adversaries, you think of their focus. Why did the authorities in Paul's day put him in prison? Why was Paul in prison? Because he preached the gospel. That's all. And the authorities focused on that. And they thought to themselves, we must silence this man. We must put an end to this preaching of this gospel. That's where their focus was. Why did they arrest other apostles and imprison them and put them to death? Why? Because they preached the truth of the gospel. That's where their focus was. These men had have gone out and robbed people of their life savings. if they had gone out some time and broken some other law of the land, they wouldn't have been treated nearly as harshly as they were treated for simply preaching the gospel. Why did the people in Whitfield's day and the people in Wesley's day oppose these men when they took the gospel into the open air? They weren't thieves or robbers. They were not murderers. They were not adulterers. They were preachers of the gospel. And yet they despised them. When George Whitefield preached on one occasion, the people were so opposed to his gospel that they went and got up a band. And they came to where Whitfield was standing preaching, and they started to play their instruments and beat their drums. We were reminded of that on Friday night. Why did they do that? Because George Whitefield preached the gospel. It was the gospel they hated. It was the gospel that they focused on. Why? When John Wesley went out into the open air with the gospel, were they ready to lynch him? Threw rotten eggs at them, tomatoes and dead cats. That's right. Why? Because he preached the gospel. Devil can't stand the gospel. Hell hates the gospel and hates the man that preaches the gospel. Why were so many burned at the stake in the days of the Reformation? Was it because they were murderers or thieves or robbers? No. Because they preached Christ and Christ's gospel. Rome wanted to silence the preachers of the gospel. Their focus and their fury. My, the devil is never more wicked when he's attacking a servant of God who preaches the gospel. You turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul is making mention of the things that he was called upon to suffer for the cause of Christ. We'll not take time to read all of the verses. I just want to draw your attention to what we have in verses 23 to 25. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews. Mark the words. Of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. The Jews would take a whip, and at the end of the whip they would tie pieces of dry bone or stone. And they would tie Paul to a post, and they ripped the shirt of his back. And then they would start counting. and they would beat him 39 times. The sentence was 40. But they stopped at 39 just in case they may have made a mistake in their counting. They didn't want to go over 40, so they stopped one short. You think the state that Paul's back would have been in at the end of that beating? And yet we read he received it 5 times in the course of his life. Why? Because he preached the gospel. Hell hates the gospel. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. It's the focus, the enemy of the gospel and the fury. But bless God, we cannot forget their failure. Why did they imprison Paul? Why did they imprison Peter? Why did they slay James? Why would they put Peter to death? Why would they put Paul to death? They wanted to stop the spread of the gospel. Glory to God, they failed. Dr. Paisley often reminds us that you might as well try and stop the rising sun with a lollipop stick as try to stop the spread of the gospel. Paul rejoiced that he was put in prison because he says the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance, far from hindering the spread of the gospel. When they put Paul in prison, it only furthered the gospel. When they slew James and put Peter in prison, the intention was to stop the spread of the gospel. But what happened? Verse 24 of Acts 12. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The emissaries of hell have for centuries been trying to stop the spread of the gospel, and they have failed, and they have failed miserably. When they put our ministers in prison over 30 years ago, the intention was to stop the spread of the gospel through the free church. That's right. Bless God, they failed. And the gospel has been spread throughout the world. You have not only the adversary, you have the appointment. Look again at the words of Paul in our text, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I am set. Take that word, set. The word means appointed. I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul was an appointed defender of the gospel. The word is found in Luke chapter 2 with reference to the Lord Jesus. The words came from the lips of Simeon. We read in Luke 2, verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for. Same two words, set for. The rise or the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Christ was appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, and there we read in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed. same words, appointed thereunto. He's emphasizing the same truth to the believers at Philippi as he emphasized to the believers at Thessalonica. I am appointed. God had appointed him. Dear child of God, we have all been appointed to be defenders of the gospel. There are ministers who tell us they're afraid to stand up for the Lord and stand up and be counted for the Lord. Their excuse is, well, I am just called to preach the gospel. No, they're not. They're not called just to preach the gospel. They're called to preach the gospel and to defend the gospel. They are appointed of God to defend the gospel. We must defend the gospel since God has appointed us to that end. And then we have the attitude. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. There's his attitude. He's set. There's something determined there. Paul was set. He was not going to move in that position. God helping him. That verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 we read earlier on will tell us why Paul was so determined and so set. Yes, he had been appointed, but look at the words of verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 2. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And that indeed is a tremendous statement. But as we were allowed of God, God has trusted me with His Word. And if He has trusted me with His Word, I have to guard that Word. I have to defend that Word. I have to protect that Word. Whenever it comes under attack, I must stand up and defend. May we realize that God has allowed us to be put in trust with the gospel. He has been pleased in His mercy to give us the gospel, to preach it, and to defend it. We must be set for the defense of the gospel. We must adopt the same attitude, take up the same stance as Paul. And finally, and briefly, we have the gospel as Paul's treasure. I am set, they know that I am set for the defense of the gospel. The gospel was Paul's. Note the words, knowing that I am sent for the defense of what? The gospel. So here we have a particular gospel. It is the gospel. We know what Paul said to the believers in Galatia. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, the gospel Paul received from God, if anybody preaches any other gospel, Paul says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel. It's the gospel. the gospel that God gave me was pleased to put me in trust of the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I'm going to defend it. And everybody knows I'm set for the defense of this gospel. It's my treasure. Something else, it's not only a particular gospel, it's a personal gospel. In Romans 2, verse 16, and Romans 16, verse 25, Paul speaks about the gospel of Christ as being my gospel. It's mine. Well, he could say that because the Lord had given it to him. And because he believed what was in the gospel, he believed the doctrines and the truths of the gospel of Christ. And so Paul says, I'm making this gospel mine. It's my gospel. Therefore, when the gospel came under attack, Paul took it personally. He attacked my gospel, Paul is saying, ye attack me. He took it personally. That's how we ought to take it. If someone were to stand up and criticize a friend or a member of our family, we would stand up for them. We would take it personally. Attack on a husband or a wife would be an attack upon us. We take it personally. That's how Paul took it. It's my gospel, and I'm set for its defense. It was his precious gospel. When we think what Paul went through for the gospel's sake, surely shows us that this gospel was precious to Paul. Why was it so precious? Well, we're told there in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's what makes the gospel precious. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul there describes the gospel as the glorious gospel of Christ. What is it that makes the gospel glorious? It's Jesus Christ. Take away Christ and you have no gospel and you have no glory. It's the gospel about the substitutionary work of Christ, the saving work of Christ, the securing work of Christ, the sanctifying work of Christ. That's what makes this gospel so precious. Because it is Christ's gospel. And since it is Christ's gospel and the gospel of our Savior, let us then say with Paul, I am set for the defense of eternal, loving, gracious Father, we bless Thee and praise Thee for the gospel of saving grace. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that we can say today, this is my gospel. We bless Thee, Lord, that Thou hast given it to us, allowed us to be put in trust with the gospel. Oh Lord, help us to guard it. Help us to defend it when it comes under attack. Dear loving Father, may we, like Paul, never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Gracious Lord, may we rejoice in this gospel, even as we leave the house of the Lord today. Take us now to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now.
forevermore.